Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, another Dodger got married, bringing out some old faces back to the fold. We're going to talk about a listener question about Diego Cartaya and some listener feedback about my Hall of Fame episode from the other day. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, and this is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm flying solo today, but Vince should be back with me tomorrow. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. And as I said at the beginning, there was another Dodger wedding this weekend. Walker Buehler got married. I knew Buehler was engaged. I think I had forgotten that they hadn't gotten married yet. I was a little bit surprised, you know. But his wedding happened and some pictures came out. And there is one picture that's going around where you've got Austin Barnes and Chris Taylor, two of Buehler's current teammates. And then Jock Peterson is in the picture, David Freese and Kike Hernandez. So it's kind of a mixed bag, two current teammates, one former teammate who retired, and then two former teammates who left via free agency to go pursue other opportunities. And, you know, it's always fun to see the guys back together, but it kind of drove home the point for me that, you know, sometimes we as fans try to project our feelings onto what are these guys going to do in free agency. I know for sure back when Zach Greinke hit free agency, I didn't think there was any way he was going to leave the Dodgers because, you know, with all of Greinke's well-known social anxiety and social quirks and whatever you want to call it, you know, he had found a very comfortable spot with the Dodgers. His teammates, I remember after the Dodgers clinched their division, you know, and Greinke and his wife just kind of celebrated quietly on the field, and Greinke's teammates didn't try to force him in to celebrate with them or anything. You know, they kind of let him, you know, do it his way. And I actually tweeted out at the time, like, that's why I can't picture Greinke leaving, because he, you know, they get him here, he's got a good thing going. And then, you know, the Diamondbacks offered him more years and more money, and he went. And, you know, I guess for a while he didn't have to worry about things like celebrating division titles or, you know, playoff wins or anything, because he was on the Diamondbacks, and the Diamondbacks ruined that by trading him to a good team. So he's had to play in the postseason now again with the Astros. But, you know, it was kind of, I thought that I understood Zach Greinke, and I didn't. And, you know, we have the same thing. You know, even we talked about when Chris Taylor re-signed last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever that was, you know, between COVID and the lockout, man, time is just a flat circle or something. So, but we talked about when Taylor re-signed, like, a lot of people were saying, you know, this shows that the Dodgers, you know, he's comfortable here. It's, you know, that it's, he recognizes that he can't have the same success anywhere else. And, you know, really what this reinforces to me is that we don't know why Chris Taylor re-signed. We can guess. And obviously Vince and I do a podcast here 5 days a week. So yeah, we do some of that guessing. But ultimately when you see these guys get back together, you know, there's no awkwardness. It's not, you know, Jock and Kike weren't interlopers, you know, they're just buddies, you know? And so you can, going to a new team doesn't cancel out any friendships. It just, you know, if anything, it gives you an opportunity to make new friendships too. But, you know, Jock is still just as close with Walker Buehler, you would assume, since he's at his wedding, as he was when they were teammates. Same with Kike. And so it's, I don't know, like all that personal stuff, it really is. And I don't even think this is a bad thing, but the more I watch baseball and watch free agency unfold, the more I realize, yeah, most of the time it is about the money. And when it's not, it's about personal comfort, not team loyalty. You know, it's kind of a weird dichotomy, because as much as we, the fans, love the Dodgers, want the Dodgers to win the World Series every year, in any given year, the guys playing for the Dodgers want that more than we do. but they want it for different reasons. We want it because, you know, speaking just for myself, I was born into a Dodger family. You know, when my dad was 4 years old when the Dodgers moved to Los Angeles. He was born and raised in Los Angeles. And so when the Dodgers moved to LA, the Snyders became a Dodgers family. My grandpa had been a Cardinals fan. He grew up in Arkansas. And then when he moved to LA as a young man, you know, there weren't any teams anywhere close. The Cardinals were still basically the closest team. So my grandpa was a Cardinals fan. But once LA got a team, the Snyders became a Dodger family. And I was born into that Dodger family. And, you know, I consider it a blessing in my life. I love the Dodgers. The guys playing for the Dodgers, Albert Pujols last year, he didn't want to win the World Series because of loyalty to the Dodgers or because the organization's so great or any of that. He wanted to win the World Series because he was playing on the team, and winning the World Series is awesome. And that will always outweigh everything. You and I, if the baseball season got canceled next year because of this stupid lockout, you know what? It would suck for us, but we have other things in our lives, including our jobs, you know, our families, whatever. But the players, they wouldn't have their jobs going on. And so it's a different thing. Like, they interact with the game differently than we do. And so, like, I often say this, I guarantee Andrew Friedman wants to win a World Series more than I want the Dodgers to win the World Series, as much as I want them to. And I really believe that. But it's important to remember, I don't know if it's important to remember, I think it is, that the reasons are different. And that doesn't make it bad. You know, when a Dodger player signs with a different team of free agency, that's okay. That's part of the game. And it doesn't make them a traitor because players aren't expected to have loyalty to a team. There's not that expectation of loyalty because they don't have the longstanding history. You know, Kike Hernandez wasn't born into a Dodger family. He doesn't have a dad who was 4 years old when the Dodgers moved to his hometown. No, I do. That's my loyalty. Kike Hernandez didn't have that. He was traded to the Dodgers shortly after his major league debut, and he played pretty well for them for several years and had a good time. And then the opportunity came to be a starter somewhere else, so he went. Great, you know. Jock Peterson wanted to play every day. He didn't have that loyalty to the Dodgers. Yeah, his dad played for the Dodgers for like five games, but Jock grew up in the Bay Area. You know, Jock probably actively disliked the Dodgers growing up. I don't know for sure, but, you know, there's not that loyalty. And that's okay. But it's fun to see these guys get back together because this is real life. Walker Buehler getting married, that's his real life. That's an important life event. And you see the guys come and say, you know what hats we wear, what pajamas we wear during the baseball season, doesn't matter because we actually are friends in real life. And just like if you're married, when you got married, your real life friends came, whether you know, even maybe some former coworkers might've showed up to your wedding. And you were happy to see him, you know, so it's always fun to me to see these guys coming back together. It's a good time, and it helps remind me that these players are just normal people who have real lives, real friends. And some of those friends happen to be former coworkers, like, you know, former teammates, Jock Peterson and Kike Hernandez and David Freese. So that was fun. And anyway, that's just some thoughts I had looking at those pictures from Buehler's wedding. I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk a little bit about some feedback I got on my Hall of Fame episode from the other day when I was picking guys who I would put in the Hall of Fame if I were king of the world. Got some feedback on a couple guys I may have missed, and so I'm going to talk about that. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and let's keep it Locked On Dodgers. Hey, does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. All right, I have returned, and again, I want to thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. I got some feedback on my episode the other day that I did. If you'll remember, I think it was Friday's episode. I talked about guys who, if I was king of the world, if I could, you know, maybe expand the Hall of Fame. I mentioned I've become kind of a big hall guy in my old age. I think, you know, the Hall of Fame is better with more players in it, and specifically talked about the fame aspect of it. And how maybe some guys who are famous but maybe weren't good enough to be in the Hall of Fame, maybe there's a place for them in the Hall of Fame too. Anyway, I got some feedback from a couple of you guys about some guys I might have missed. And one person suggested or mentioned Norma Lorraine Evans is her name. And she said, just listen to Locked On Dodgers. I agree with most of your choices, but you missed the Penguin, Ron Say. The only third baseman better in the 70s and 80s was Mike Schmidt. Of course, that's just my personal opinion. He's number two on LA Dodgers home run list too. And to be fair, Norma's Twitter handle is at LoveSayPenguin10. So, you know, she acknowledged her bias, and it's definitely there. Ron Say is an interesting one. And honestly, if, I did mention Steve Garvey. Garvey gets in, you know, more on the fame side in my book. If Steve Garvey's in the Hall of Fame, it's hard to say Ron Say doesn't belong because, in my opinion, Ron Say was a significantly better player than Steve Garvey. Even the year that Garvey won the MVP award, he wasn't even the best player in his own infield. Say was extremely underrated. I don't think he had quite the stats to match up with the current Hall of Fame standards. But if we're expanding the hall, making more of a big hall kind of guy, you know, Say's career war is 53.8. And, you know, you're usually thinking more like 60 to start the conversation. But 53.8 is not bad. And it's very good. And so if we are expanding the hall, Say is a great option. It's kind of funny because he just wasn't really respected. He was on the ballot for 1 year. 1993, he got 1.9% of the vote, and he was off the ballot. Steve Garvey was on the ballot for, what was it, 10? All 15 years. And, you know, maxed out at 42%, which is not bad. You know, Garvey was a 10-time All-Star. Say was a 6-time All-Star. And even awards voting, Say never finished higher than 8th in the MVP voting. And like I said, Garvey, the year that Garvey won the MVP, let's see what he had. His WAR was 4.4. I mean, it was a different time back then. It was 1974. A, the Dodgers won the pennant, and B, Garvey played 156 games, batted .312, drove in 111 runs. Basically, the big numbers, batted .300, drove in 100 runs, played a bunch of games on a division winner. That was Garvey's case that year. Say, in that same year, 1974, only batted .262, but he had a 113 OPS plus, and Garvey's is 130. So Garvey was a better offensive player. But if you look at defense, Say's defense was so much better than Garvey's that even though he was a worse hitter, he had a 4.9 WAR. You know, and I'm not saying Say deserved the MVP that year. He didn't, but neither did Garvey. And so it's kind of a interesting thing. Realistically, the guy who won the MVP that year should have been, you know, probably Mike Schmidt. He led the major leagues in WAR. It's kind of funny. If you look at the list of guys who got MVP votes, there were 25 guys who got MVP votes. If you sort them by WAR, Say is, looks like 15th or so, and or 13th, and Garvey's like 17th. And so, you know, you've got a ton of guys, Mike Schmidt, Joe Morgan, Johnny Bench, Jimmy Wynn. So even out of the Dodgers, Jim Wynn, Andy Messersmith, and Ron Say all had better WARs than Steve Garvey did. So, you know, I know it's not just a WAR award, but WAR does a decent job approximating, and it kind of shows how much different the voting was back in 1974 than it might be now. But getting back to the Say and Garvey conversation, yeah, if Steve Garvey gets in the Hall of Fame, Ron Say should too. I had, say, on my longer list, I mentioned I had probably 18 or 20 guys on my list originally of guys who, yeah, I think, and these are just guys with Dodger ties. So I thought, yeah, I'd at least consider putting them in the Hall of Fame. Say was definitely on that list. I just didn't have a strong opinion on Say. But since Norma asked me about it, I thought I'd throw that out there. I do disagree with Norma when she said that Say was the second best third baseman of the 80s behind Mike Schmidt, of the 70s and 80s. George Brett, for sure, was better than Ron Say. And then there's other guys who you could make a pretty solid case for. Greg Nettles, Buddy Bell, Darrell Evans, maybe even a lot of guys who you can make a case for. But yeah, Say was very good. The other one that I got feedback on was from Odie at him, eDoggy, on Twitter. And he said, "Hey, Jeff, I would like to throw a player for my Hall of Fame for the Dodgers. His stats are not off the charts, only 20.9 career war. But 1995 Rookie of the Year, 1995 All-Star, two career no-hitters, two-time strikeout leader, and he brought fame to his name, Hideo Nomo from Japan." He said also Nomo won the Triple Crown Rookie of the Year and MVP in 1990 in the Japanese League. He came to MLB after spending 5 years in Japan. So he said that he would get his selection in a bigger hall. And honestly, I didn't even think about Nomo the other day when I was doing that episode. I kind of started my research by setting a minimum for war. And I set my minimum higher than Nomo's career war. And that's kind of the case against Nomo is, yeah, he just didn't have the length of a career. You know, he was very good as a rookie. He was pretty good in his second year. And then after that, he was mostly average from his second year or from his third year to the end of his career. His combined stats, he had an ERA plus of 91. He was 9% worse than average over the last, 10 seasons of his career. He wasn't great. He had a 4.61 ERA in that time. And so, yeah, he did have two no-hitters in that time, but he was bad. And so from a performance on the field standpoint, there is not a case to be made for Hideo Nomo. Even if you factor in his Japanese stats, 5 good years in Japan, I mean, even if he had had those same exact stats in the big leagues, 5 good years, that still only puts him at 7 good years in his career. And chances are he wouldn't have had that good of stats because the Japanese league isn't as hard as the major leagues. And so Nomo is an interesting one. So he doesn't have any case statistically, but the fame aspect, Hideo Nomo opened up Japan. Hideo Nomo was the first Japanese player in major league history since Masanori Murakami in 1964 and 65 with the Giants. Murakami played parts of two seasons, a total of 89 innings pitched. He was good. He had an ERA plus of 106, you know, solid pitcher. And then his career was over in the United States. He went back to Japan and pitched for a long time in Japan. But nobody had come to the United States from Japan and pitched in the big leagues since then. And so it was 30 years before Hideo Nomo came along. And, you know, I often talk about Jackie Robinson, how, you know, you never know what was actually said, but one of the things that was rumored to have been said by Branch Rickey, Jackie Robinson, was that he was looking for the right person and the right player. And for me, Jackie Robinson was clearly the right person to be in that role. But if Jackie Robinson hadn't been a great baseball player, it wouldn't have worked. You know, they couldn't just go. There were plenty of guys who probably could have handled the pressure or whatever. Not that Jackie Robinson wasn't an exceptional human being, but what Jackie Robinson had was that combination of that exceptional human being and excellent ball player. And because if Jackie Robinson had come in and batted, you know, 240 and just kind of been, oh yeah, he's okay, it would have reinforced in a lot of the racist minds, oh, see that? Negro leaguers aren't as good as big leaguers. They don't belong in the major leagues. The fact that Jackie Robinson came in, won the Rookie of the Year award, 2 years later won the MVP. He came in and he was the best player in baseball That's what made it work. And that's what opened the door for Willie Mays and Ernie Banks and Hank Aaron and, you know, the list of hundreds and hundreds of players who got their opportunities because of Jackie Robinson. Not because Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier, but because Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier and exceeded. And Hideo Nomo did kind of that same thing for Japanese players. Not exactly the same, to be clear. Japanese players weren't not in the big leagues because of institutional racism. It was just, you know, it hadn't happened. And when Nomo came over, there was kind of this perception that Japanese players, because the Japanese league isn't as good as the major leagues, they can't succeed over here, whatever it is. And Nomo came over and had two really good seasons. And that was enough to say, oh, wow, this is an experiment that actually is worth doing. It was just a few years later that Ichiro came over, you know, and did the same thing for the offensive players. Hideki Matsui, you know, so many Japanese players, pitchers and position players, and Hideo Nomo opened the door for them. And if Hideo Nomo had come over and been bad immediately, it probably would have closed that door again for maybe not for 30 more years, but, you know, maybe we don't have Ichiro if it wasn't for Nomo being really good in 1995 and 96. And you know what? If Hideo Nomo helped give us Ichiro, maybe he belongs in the Hall of Fame. You know, maybe there's some sort of category, you know, the pioneer category or whatever. So I could make a case for Hideo Nomo, not based on his on-field performance, except based on that performance for those first couple of years when it really, really mattered. You know what? Yeah, maybe Nomo's a Hall of Famer. That's something to think about. All right. Thank you for that feedback. I'd love to hear more of your thoughts on people you think I might have missed. If you think I missed the boat on either of these guys today, again, I want to thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. I'm going to come back in a minute and I'm going to answer one more listener question about Dodgers prospect Diego Cartaya. So keep it locked on Dodgers. Built Bar. Did you know Built Bar is delicious and nutritious? I think you did. We've told you before. Whatever, you know, the holiday season, we're eating a lot of delicious stuff, and that's good. That's one of the best parts of the holiday season. But you don't have to only eat delicious stuff at the holiday season. You can eat delicious stuff all year round because Built Bar is available all the time. Everything they have is amazingly low in calories, sugar, net carbs, and fat, and high in protein. It's the best of both worlds, delicious and healthy. My buddy Dale Murphy was on Locked On Braves last week, and he sat through a Built Bar promo, and then when it was done, he actually interrupted my buddy Jake and put in his pitch for Built Bar. Dale is, like me, a Utahn, and Built Bar is a Utah company, and Dale actually knows the owners of the company. He said the first time he tried the Built Bar, he told him, you're going to sell a million of these because these are delicious. Dale Murphy, he knows this stuff. Well, everybody who has tried Built Bar says the same thing. They're delicious. So throw them in somebody's stocking. You got kids? Put them in their stocking. They'll be happy to get it. It's a chocolate bar. They're all covered in chocolate. Your kids aren't going to complain, but Dad, this is healthy. No, if it's delicious, it's delicious. That's my bottom line. And for you, you might want delicious and healthy. You might just want a healthy snack. You might want something to help you build muscle or lose weight, whatever it is. Built Bar is the answer. And go to built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Hey, BetOnline has you covered all season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football season continues the march to the playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. And I am back for one last segment. I put out a little call for questions, and I got a response from, let me find this really quick. It is from Big E at Eric M. Herrera, and he asked, what player from the minors has an opportunity to make an impact this coming season? And then he followed up with Diego Cartaya seems to be a stud at catcher. He can hit How good are his catching skills? Is he learning to handle the pitching staff well? Any info on this, his development would be helpful. So yeah, we're going to talk, you know, more this offseason about the Dodgers farm system. Neither Vince nor I are major prospect experts, but we know some, and we know some experts, and we know some stuff ourselves. So, but Diego Cartaya specifically, I'm always happy to talk about him. I'm really excited about Diego Cartaya. And basically, Cartaya right now, if you look at his scouting reports, basically on the scouting scale, the 20-80 scale, where 50 is kind of average. And so anything above 50, it goes by fives. So 55, 60, 65, 70, you hardly ever see any 80 grades. That's as high as it can be. But basically everything except running, Diego Cartaya is at least above average. Hitting for power, fielding, he's above average. Arm, even better than above average. He's probably a 60 arm. And so the real question is, you know, can he develop the plate discipline that just comes with age? He was one of the youngest players in low A and played really, really well. He was one of the youngest players at the alternate site during COVID in 2020. And so he got some of that experience catching some big league pitchers, or at least more advanced pitchers. And so, you know, over time, he's going to get there. Defensively, he's got a great arm. He has good hands. And so, yeah, he's still learning, developing as a catcher, but there's no reason to think that he's not going to be really successful there. And the bat, you know, really the only question mark is plate discipline. And that, you know, comes, he's 19 years old. Maybe, I think, let's see, born, oh, he's 20 now. Excuse me. He's an old man. He's 20, turned 20 in September. But Diego Cartaya, you figure he's probably still 2 or 3 years away from the big leagues. But, you know, it's going to come at just the right time, as Will Smith either is hitting free agency, or is maybe, you know, his knees are getting old and looking at a position change or something, or whatever it is, or even, you know, with the DH in the National League, like I assume there will be, you know, having, it wouldn't hurt to have two catchers who can play catcher full time, who's bat you one in the lineup, you know, save both of their knees. So Diego Cartaya is extremely exciting. And he's a guy who you watch him hit and you think, you know, he could force the issue even sooner. Guys have debuted at 20, usually not catchers, but sometimes. Pudge Rodriguez was 20-ish. You know, Pudge might have even been 19 when he debuted, you know, and so he could force the issue if he hits really well, you know, makes the jump to Double A in 2022 and hits really well, ends up in Triple A. You know, we could see him in the big leagues much sooner than later. Especially if the DH is there, where there's a spot for him, even if he can't catch every day. But yeah, I don't think there's much to not be excited about Diego Cartaya. I don't think he's necessarily a can't miss prospect, but he is very, very promising, very exciting. And there's not much to worry about with him, other than just general development and obviously staying healthy. That's the big thing. But the Dodgers saw this potential. They signed him out of Venezuela when he was 16 years old in 2018, you know, a few months before he turned 17, gave him $2.5 million. And the Dodgers have had good luck signing people out of Venezuela. And obviously their player development system is second to none. And so, yeah, Diego Cartaya, I think part of the reason the Dodgers were willing to trade Keibert Ruiz was because they have Will Smith now and they have Cartaya soon. And that is, there's no room for Keibert Ruiz in that equation, even if Ruiz is going to be a very good player. So, you know, like I said, I'm not an expert on prospects. I'm not an expert on Diego Cartaya. And maybe Vince is going to be sad that I talked about this one, because Vince is even more excited about Cartaya than I am. And that's saying something. Diego Cartaya is going to be a guy. He is going to be that guy who we are going to look at and say, man, glad we have him. You know, it's going to be a success story for the Dodgers international scouting and their player development, because he is going to be an all-star. He's going to be an excellent, excellent player in the big leagues in Dodger blue. And that's exciting. So thank you for that question, Eric. And with that, that's kind of going to wrap it up for me today. I would love to hear your thoughts. If you have any questions, topics you want us to talk about, it won't surprise you to hear that when there's a lockout happening, so there's no actual news happening, sometimes we are, racking our brains for topics to talk about. We love talking about the Dodgers, and there's always plenty to talk about, but we, you know, we don't mind a nudge from you guys to say, hey, what about this? What about this? Also, you remember on Friday, I had my buddy Eusebio on to ask me a trivia question. That's something we're willing to do all the time. If you ever have an interest in hopping on the show, if you have a good Dodgers-related trivia question, shoot me a DM. Let me know your interest. Don't tell me the question, because I want the first time I hear the question to be on the episode of the show. But, you know, shoot me a DM, and we'll figure out a time, get you on. We'll record it, and we'll use that on the podcast. So, you know, it's a fun time. I think a lot of people enjoy baseball trivia, so I'd love to do more of that. So with that, that's going to wrap it up today. Thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. We really appreciate it. Now make your second listen Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms. If you aren't watching or listening to Locked On Dodgers every day, please add one or two days a month to your rotation. We would really appreciate it. If you have friends or family who love the Dodgers as much as you do, tell them about the show. Maybe they'll love it too. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I am on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com, and our phone number for voicemails or texts is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.